Greetings. This is Tyler McVeeters with your News Gazette, dated Thursday, January 30th, 2025. And we'll begin our reading today with the front page story, Carle Foundation Hospital, a holistic career. Pending retirement doesn't mean she's done with nursing. By Dave Hinton, HINTON, out of Urbana. As a longtime emergency department nurse at Carle Foundation Hospital, Petty Metzler said people frequently say to her, "Oh, I'll bet you've seen it all." Her response, "Until tomorrow." There has rarely been a dull moment in the rural Newman native's nursing career at Carle. Every day is a new adventure, with the unexpected popping up all the time. On February 14th, the 67-year-old Metzler, Metzler, will be retiring, and she started looking back on her more than 47 years at the hospital. Metzler has been at Carle for so long that when she started, there were four hospitals in Champaign-Urbana. Burnham City and Cole Hospitals closed. Mercy Hospital went through several name changes and is now known as OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, while Carle remains the same name. Metzler's brother, who had leukemia, died when she was 4 years old. She decided she wanted to become a nurse. "That was bef my first exposure to Carle, way back when. That was 62 years ago," Metzler said. "I tell people I grew up with Carle." She graduated from Barnes School of Nursing in St. Louis back when it was a 3-year program and students went year-round. Being very family-oriented, Metzler wanted to stay in the area. Her first job at Carle was on the neurology floor, working in neural ICU and in the clinic with a pediatric neurologist. While working at the muscular dystrophy camp for children, an emergent situation developed in which Metzler had to take one of the campers to the emergency department. "I thought, you know, I think I'd like to do that." That's when I moved to the emergency department. It was 1980. The transition was not difficult, Metzler said, because she had worked in an intensive care unit. She credited her mentors for making the transition easier. The emergency department work rarely gets monotonous. You know, there's always something different going on and always something new to learn. We see people as they walk through the door. They could be walking through with a heart attack or a sore throat. It's the whole gamut, Metzler said. And the gamut has just gotten wider over the years. The emergency department saw an average of 75 people a day when she started in the department. Today, that number is around 300. At one point, Metzler served as assistant manager prior to the emergency department earning Level 1 Trauma Center status, providing additional care, a 24-hour surgical team, and an entire trauma team. When Carle bought Aero Ambulance from a private company, Metzler helped to write the first EMS manual. Metzler stresses that working as a team is important in trauma care and said the physicians treated the nurses as equals. "One of the biggest assets is our physicians, and the entire staff have a very collegiate work environment," she said. "That's what was fostered in our emergency department, is that we're all working together to make this person better." 20 years ago, Metzler developed an intern program where nurses in other parts of the hospital could receive training to become emergency department nurses. Holly Cook, director of the Carle Emergency Department, said Metzler has a wealth of knowledge and is so passionate about the work she has done for so many years to take care of the children in our community. Later in her career, Metzler helped to develop the Sexual Abuse Nurse Examiner and the Sexual Abuse Response Team programs and has become a national expert in providing training to nurses, police officers, and doctors. She served as the SANE coordinator until 2016. Carle Foundation Hospital has been one of the few programs that has offered 24/7 SANE coverage since its inception of the program. The SART team includes members of Department of Children and Family Services, police departments, the state's attorney's office, and Child Advocacy Center. We have a wonderful pediatric child abuse and neglect specialist we work with as well, Metzler said. Cook said the SANE treatment facility for both adults and pediatrics provides an invaluable resource to a large part of the state, and this is undoubtedly a result of the countless years and hours of training, advocacy, and commitment Metzler never wavered on. Dr. Uretz Oliphant, in connection with the National Fire Prevention Association, spearheaded safety education in the schools with Risk Watch. Metzler coordinated that program through Carl. Metzler said things keep changing in healthcare. There's always something to learn, and she's still learning. The Champaign resident is a jolly sort, which fits perfectly with her role as Mrs. Claus around Christmas time, when, with a child life specialist, she visits the children in the hospital's pediatric unit. I have my rosy cheeks and white hair, and look the part, she said with a laugh. It's one of the things that cheers patients up. Metzler said she believes in Carl's approach. I have a deep faith, and that has helped my career, she said. We call it holistic, and that's the mind, body, and spirit. Some days we can take the worst days of their life and make it so much better. Cook said the emergency department is a better place because of Metzler, and she has left a mark that will be felt for many and be there for years to come. Metzler said she has seen plenty of the unexplainable as a nurse. In retirement, Metzler will do volunteer work. She has gone on 5 mission trips led by Dr. Michael Goldwasser to the Philippines, Central America, and South America to work on cleft palate and cleft lip cases. Metzler said she will maintain her nursing license, so if there's some place I can help, that will be possible. She also plans to travel. Metzler has 2 children, Betsy and Jeff, who live in Mahomet, and 2 grandchildren, Liam, 15, and John, 5. Next story out of the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. Crime by the numbers. From drugs sniffed out to guns seized. Just out, the Champaign County Sheriff's Office 44-page annual report, which shows calls for service going down 14,591 in 2023 to 13,938 in 2024. Traffic stops trending up 2,967 to 3,390, and arrests staying close to the same, 576 to 590. Other numbers of note from editor Jeff D'Alessio: 491.5 grams of psilocybin, aka magic mushrooms, seized in searches performed by the department's 3 canines. During the 99 times Laysen, Pongo, and Gaz were put at work, they also sniffed out 9.4 kilograms of cannabis, 0.08 grams of meth, 8.3 grams of cocaine, 19.3 grams of fentanyl, and 15 grams of crack, along with locating 4 firearms. 40 handguns, 12 rifles, and 11 shotguns seized during traffic stops and other criminal investigations. Shootings kept Champaign police far busier. 88 incidents in 2024, up by 23 from the year prior. Then last on the front page stories is out of March Madness. IHSA-CU put finishing touches on tourney plan. New format expected to provide boost. By Jim Rossow, R-O-S-S-O-W. Out of Champaign. It's not just the participating teams that are looking forward to the new format at this year's IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals at State Farm Center. Business leaders are behind the change, too. For the first time, the 16 teams are guaranteed at least a 2-day stay. In response to frustrated teams and their fans, the IHSA ended the practice of playing semifinal and third-place games on the same day, a format that did little for attendance and atmosphere. It's a positive thing, said Mark Brown, Director of Event Services and Film for Experience Champaign-Urbana. It allows teams and their fans to experience our community a little bit more. Brown and representatives from the IHSA and State Farm Center met Wednesday on campus to put the finishing touches on planning for this year's March 13th to 15th tournament. It's the fourth year since the tournament returned to the University of Illinois and the first of a new five-year deal announced in April. The altered schedule features six semifinals on Thursday. On Friday, third-place games in Class 1A, 2A, and 3A will be followed by two 4A semifinals. Saturday's lineup includes the 4A third-place game and four title games. This will boost attendance for the third-place games, Brown said. These teams, they may be fighting for third place, but it's third place in the entire state. It's still a huge deal. All session attendance in 2024 was 36,780. However, State Farm Center was largely empty for third-place games on Thursday and Friday nights. Experience Champaign-Urbana works with four hotels to house the 16 state finalists and 16 hotels for fans of those teams. With a number of people who are going to be there for longer than a day, the economic impact will be much bigger, Brown said. Fire damage to condemned complex estimated at $300,000 by Jana Wiersema, Wiersema, out of Champaign. The cause of a recent fire at a condemned building within the Champaign Park Apartments complex remains unknown, according to City Communications Manager Jeff Hamilton. When asked if the damages are significant enough to require demolition, he said that this is likewise undetermined. However, he was able to share that the damages are estimated at $300,000. The Champaign Fire Department responded to multiple reports of a fire at the three-story apartment building at 10:41 a.m. Saturday. Upon their arrival, firefighters saw heavy fire coming from the third floor and extending into the attic, fire department officials said. They also were met with heavy fire while searching the building and fighting the blaze. A second alarm was called and crews exited the building in a defensive strategy. No firefighter injuries were reported. The building had been condemned by the city, and the first floor of the building had been boarded up by the owner, Hamilton said. To the city's knowledge, no one was living in the structure. Hundreds of units in the 42-building complex were condemned in 2023, with city officials deeming them uninhabitable due to problems such as flooding issues and/or lack of heat. In national and world news, the Trump administration. White House retreats on spending freeze, out of Washington and the Associated Press. President Donald Trump's budget office on Wednesday rescinded a memo freezing spending on federal loans and grants, less than 2 days after it sparked widespread confusion and legal challenges across the country. The memo, which was issued Friday by the Office of Management and Budget, had frightened states, schools, and organizations that rely on trillions of dollars from Washington. Administration officials said the pause was necessary to review whether spending aligned with Trump's executive orders on issues like climate change and diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. But on Wednesday, they've sent out a two-sentence notice rescinding the original memo. The reversal was the latest sign that even with unified control of Washington, Trump's plans to dramatically and rapidly reshape the government has limits. Administration officials insisted that despite the confusion, their action still had the intended effect by underscoring to federal agencies their obligations to abide by Trump's executive orders. The executive orders issued by the president on funding reviews remain in full force and effect and will be rigorously implemented by all agencies and departments, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said, blaming the confusion on the courts and news outlets, not the administration. This action should effectively end the court case and allow the government to focus on enforcing the president's orders on controlling federal spending. The White House's change in direction caught Congress off guard, particularly Trump's Republican allies who had defended him throughout the brief saga. This is Donald Trump. He throws hand grenades in the middle of the room and then cleans it up afterwards, said Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. I just think the guy's a genius. Cramer acknowledged the initial memo may have generated too much political heat, with red and blue states raising alarms over the funding freeze. But the senator suggested Trump maybe didn't understand the breadth of what he had been proposed. But Democrats said the White House had overreached beyond what Americans want. Most people voted for cheaper eggs, said Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico. They did not vote for this chaos. The funding pause was scheduled to go into effect at 5 p.m. Tuesday. It was stayed by a federal judge until at least Monday after an emergency hearing requested by nonprofit groups that receive federal grants. An additional lawsuit by Democratic state attorneys general was also pending. After the initial memo was distributed, federal agencies were directed to answer a series of yes or no questions about each program by February 7th. The questions included, does this program promote gender ideology? And does this program promote or support in any way abortion? Although Trump had promised to turn Washington upside down if elected to a second term, the effects of his effort to pause funding were being felt far from the nation's capital. Organizations like Meals on Wheels, which receives federal money to deliver food to the elderly, were worried about getting cut off. Even temporary interruptions in funding could cause layoffs or delays in public services. On Tuesday, Trump administration officials said programs that provide direct assistance to Americans, including Medicare, Social Security, student loans, and food stamps, would not be affected. However, they sometimes struggled to provide a clear picture. Leave It initially would not say whether Medicaid was exempted from the freeze, but the administration later clarified that it was. Democratic critics of the order moved swiftly to celebrate the memo's rescinding. This is an important victory for the American people, whose voices were heard after massive pressure from every corner of this country, said Senator Patty Murray of Washington. She said Trump had caused real harm and chaos for millions. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York said that Americans fought back and Donald Trump backed off. First new law of his second presidency, Laken Riley Act signed. Trump says he'll send worst criminal aliens for detention at Guantanamo Bay, out of Washington by the Associated Press. President Donald Trump on Wednesday signed the Laken Riley Act into law, giving federal authorities broader power to deport migrants in the U.S. illegally who have been accused of crimes. He also announced at the ceremony that his administration planned to send the worst criminal aliens to a detention center in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The bipartisan act, the first piece of legislation approved during Trump's second term, was named for Riley, a 22-year-old Georgia nursing student who was slain last year by a Venezuelan man in the U.S. illegally. She was a light of warmth and kindness, Trump said during a ceremony that included Riley's parents and sister. It's a tremendous tribute to your daughter, what's taking place today. That's all I can say. It's so sad we have to be doing it. Trump has promised to drastically increase deportations, but he also said at the signing that some of the people being sent back to their home countries couldn't be counted on to stay there. Some of them are so bad that we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo, Trump said. He said that he'd direct federal officials to get facilities in Cuba ready to receive immigrant criminals. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal aliens threatening American people, the president said. The White House announced a short time later that Trump had signed a presidential memorandum on Guantanamo. The move immediately doubles U.S. detention lockup capabilities, Trump said at the signing ceremony, noting that Guantanamo is a tough place to get out of. In subsequent comments to reporters outside the White House, new Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said of expanding detention centers that we're building it out and that the administration would seek funding via spending bills Congress is set to consider. Ronald Reagan National Airport passenger jet helicopter collide. Out of Arlington, Virginia, and the Associated Press. A passenger jet collided Wednesday with an Army helicopter while landing at Ronald Reagan National Airport near Washington, prompting a large search and rescue operation in the nearby Potomac River. There was no immediate word on casualties, but all takeoffs and landings from the airport near Washington were halted as helicopters from law enforcement agencies across the region flew over the scene in search of survivors. Inflatable rescue boats were launched into the Potomac River from a point near the airport along the George Washington Parkway, just north of the airport. President Donald Trump was briefed, his press secretary said, and Vice President J.D. Vance encouraged followers on social media to say a prayer for everyone involved. The Federal Aviation Administration said the mid-air collision occurred around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when a regional jet that had departed from Wichita, Kansas, crashed into a military Black Hawk helicopter while on approach to an airport runway. In a post on social media, American Airlines said it was aware of reports that one of its flights was involved in the incident and said it would provide more information once available. The Year of the Snake. Millions around the world usher in Lunar New Year. Beijing, Associated Press. Firecrackers popped, incense was offered at temples, and dancers and drummers paraded Wednesday in Asia and farther afield as millions around the world celebrated the Lunar New Year. From Beijing to Havana, the holiday, known as the Spring Festival in China, Tet in Vietnam, and Sol Lal in Korea, is a major festival celebrated in many countries. Wednesday marked the start of the Year of the Snake, one of 12 animals in the Chinese zodiac. Throngs of people in down jackets filled the Beijing Park for a temple fair on a sunny but chilly day. Some rang bells and tossed coins into containers in the shape of gold bars for good luck, while others ate traditional snacks from food stalls and took photos with a person dressed up as the god of wealth. The Lunar New Year is a time to wish for good luck and prosperity in the coming year for oneself and others. The past year was a very busy one for me because I had to take care of both my kid and my work, said Beijing resident Jiang Hekang. In the Year of the Snake, I wish my kid will grow healthily and my work can remain stable. Then I can be happy enough. In Malaysia, the crackling of fireworks greeted the new year outside Guan Di Temple in the capital, Kuala Lumpur, followed by lion dances to the rhythmic beat of drums and small cymbals. Ethnic Chinese held incense sticks in front of them and bowed several times inside the temple before sticking the incense into elaborate gold-colored pots, the smoke rising from the burning tips. Hundreds of people lined up on the eve of the Lunar New Year at the Wong Tai Sin Taoist Temple in Hong Kong in a bid to be among the first to put incense sticks on the stands in front of the temple's main hall at 11 p.m. I wish my family will be blessed. I hope my business will run well. I pray for our country and wish people peace. I hope this coming year is a better year, said Ming So, who visits the temple every year for the late night ritual. Online, Google joined in with the festivities Wednesday by featuring the classic snake game on its homepage. Many Chinese who work in bigger cities return home during the 8-day national holiday in what is described as the world's biggest annual movement of humanity. The exodus turns Beijing, China's capital, into a bit of a ghost town with many shops closed and normally crowded roads and subways emptied. Traditionally, Chinese families gather for a festive dinner at home on New Year's Eve. On the Lunar New Year, many visit temples to pray and attend temple fairs to watch performances and buy snacks, toys, and other trinkets. I bring my children here to experience the atmosphere because the New Year atmosphere is fading, Beijing resident Wang Xinxin said at a temple fair in Ditan Park, the former Temple of Earth in the Ming and Qing dynasties. Next story is ex-U.S. Senator sent to 11 years for taking bribes, out of New York in the Associated Press. Former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez was sentenced Wednesday to 11 years in prison for accepting bribes of gold and cash and acting as an agent of Egypt, crimes his lawyer said he's been mocked for as Gold Bar Bob. U.S. District Judge Sidney H. Stein delivered the sentence after the Democrat tearfully addressed the court. He said he'd lost everything he cared about except his family. Menendez resigned last year after becoming one of only a handful of U.S. senators ever to be convicted while in office. You were successful, powerful. You stood at the apex of our political system, Stein told Menendez in a packed Manhattan courtroom. Somewhere along the way, and I don't know when it was, you lost your way, and working for the public good became working for your good. The ex-senator was convicted of selling his once considerable clout for bribes worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. His actions, the judge said, feed the cynicism of voters. Next story is Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Beware Imposter Posing as Public Health Official by Jana Wiersema, out of Champaign. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is urging residents to be wary of a man who has been posing as a health official. This man, who falsely claims to represent public health, has been going door to door in Champaign County, CUUPHD said. However, neither the health district nor the Illinois Department of Health are conducting door-to-door visits at this time. The health district said that residents should remain cautious and not let this man or other individuals with similar claims into their homes. Instead, they should immediately call 911 to report the incident. Public health officials want to ensure the safety of the community and remind residents that official health representatives will always provide proper identification and will not conduct unannounced home visits, the district said. Thursday's weather report shows a high of 46 for Thursday, partly sunny early, then cloudy, with afternoon rain 70%, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Overnight rain, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday will be a high of 48 with a low of 39. Cloudy, rain likely, mainly in the morning. Variable winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overnight becoming partly cloudy. Saturday has a high of 43 and a low of 28 with mostly cloudy. Sunday is also mostly cloudy with a high of 56 and a low of 37. I'll be taking a short break now, and I'll return with the second half hour of our Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, dated Thursday, January 30th, 2025. Please stay tuned.